Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of any works. By faith, you receive it. And some people want to make that meritorious. They want to make that work. Well, when you reach out and receive Him, that's work, so you're working for your salvation. No, it's not.
Jesus fulfilled so many prophecies throughout His life and in His last hours on the cross. He spoke some of the most important words we live by that remind us that our salvation is a gift, complete and offered freely to all who believe. Such a great study today. Please stay with us on Practical Christian Living as we bring you more out of Luke 23, 44 through 49. Here comes Robert Furrow.
In the Passover supper, there were four different cups, and each cup represented something different. Jesus came to the third cup, which in the Passover Seder represents redemption, the purchasing price. And He took it and didn't drink it, but gave it to His disciples and said, "Take this and drink it. It is the cup of the new covenant of My blood." And so they took it and they drank it. And Jesus said, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine." The fruit of the vine He was talking about was this cup until the kingdom of God. Some people say that when Jesus rose from the dead and drank wine to prove that He was alive, that that was where the start of the kingdom of God was. Yes, in a way. But He's talking about the actual kingdom of God where He is on the throne. Maybe the marriage supper of the Lamb. When we have a first supper with Him. The disciples had a last supper. Well, we'll have a supper with Him, and He will take that third cup and He'll drink it with us. This is sour wine. The wine that they would have at meals would be much different. This is a cheap wine, probably belonged to the Romans. So it's a different thing. Jesus did not violate His promise that He did not drink of this. And I want to read this to you. Notice how specific it is. This is Matthew 26, 29. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." This cup. So He's talking specifically about that cup. It wasn't just talking specifically about not drinking wine at all. Now, this is also fulfillment of Scripture, which doesn't shock us. Here, as he's dying, He's fulfilling Scripture. This is Psalms 69, 21. "They also gave Me gall for My food, and for My thirst, they gave Me vinegar to drink." This is the cheap vinegar wine that the Roman soldiers would use, and Jesus fulfilled it. Why is it so significant that we see it all around the, and even at His death, that Scripture is being fulfilled? Because we have to know that God's in charge. We can't get this idea and feeling that Jesus is a victim, and how sad this is that Jesus died like this, and He was an innocent man, and even the centurion saw that He was innocent, and how sad this is. Jesus was not a victim in any way, shape, or form. Neither was this a suicide. Jesus said, "No one takes My life, but I lay My life down." This is a heroic sacrifice. He went on a mission knowing that he would die. I use this example. It's like a man that sees a child on the railroad tracks and realizes, "I don't have enough time to grab that child and get him out of the way. The train's coming too fast." And so he jumps and knocks the child out of the way and takes the train himself. We would not say of that person, "What a horrible, sad thing." Yes, we would be sad that he died. Yes, the people who loved him would miss him. But they would also say, "That's the bravest way possible to die. What a sacrifice. He gave that child the rest of their lives by sacrificing themselves." That's what Jesus is doing here. Now, the next thing that he says, we read it in the last text, is he says, "It is finished." This is a very profound statement. As I said, all of these things are profound. This may be one of the most profound things that Jesus said. It's the Greek word totelestai, and it means paid in full. Jesus says, "Paid in full." Now, what things are finished on the cross? There's the law. The law was there to bring us to Christ. Once we come to Christ, we no longer need the law. Don't let anybody judge you in regard to food or drink or new moons and Sabbaths, it says in Colossians 2:16. We are free from that. There's a fulfillment of prophecy. And here I want to be careful because we're talking about the prophecy that is fulfilled up until the moment of his death as a man. He's going to fulfill more prophecy when he rises from the dead and more prophecy when he returns. There's all kinds of prophecies yet for Jesus to fulfill. But as far as his life and sacrifice, he has finished all of those. There weren't any that he missed. The work of redemption is finished, which is most likely what he meant. I would say we can be very confident that he was talking about the work of redemption. It's done. And if it's done, there's nothing you can add to it. He didn't say it's finished. He said it's finished and they can finish it up. You know, it's almost done and they can finish up the rest of it. You can't do anything except accept it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of any works. By faith, you receive it. And some people want to make that meritorious. They want to make that work. Well, when you reach out and receive him, that's work. So you're working for your salvation. No, it's not. When your child grabs that present on Christmas morning and you're not going to say to them, you deserve it. You got it. You've received it. You deserved it. No, it's a gift. When we receive the gift of eternal life, it is free. And it's finished. Listen to what Colossians 2:14-15 tell us about this redemptive act of God through Christ. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that is written against us, which is just a crazy thought right there. God having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us. There's handwritings that's against me and against you. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we would all have to answer to God. But that's been wiped out. It says, which is contrary to us. Paul wanted to make sure you knew. This is contrary. It's not talking about all the good things you did. It's contrary to you. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. You're familiar with the hymn, It Is Well. It Is Well was written by a man who had lost his wife and children. They were at sea. And he was making the trip later on. And he asked the captain, when you get to the spot where my wife and children were lost, would you call me up? And as he got up to the front, his heart broken that this is where his family perished, he began to get the words to the song, It Is Well, the hymn, It Is Well with My Soul. Even though his wife had passed, his children had passed right there, he says, when you see the sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. This is one of the lines in the song, or one of the sections in the song. He says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's what Jesus meant when it's finished. Your sin, not in part, but in whole, has been nailed to the cross. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Provision has been made that we can come and find salvation. Not bringing a partial debt, but having it all paid. Now in John 19:30, it says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. This is the moment when he died. And the Bible says the death of his saints is precious in his eyes. And you can imagine the death of Jesus was precious in his eyes as well. One more passage on this work that took place on the cross. This is 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. And again, notice what God is doing through Christ here. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, the final thing that he says before he dies is, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus knows his body now will have no consciousness, but his spirit will go on. It's something that every one of us should know as well. We will go on from this place. And that we would say, into your hands I commit my spirit, when that day comes. It's exactly what Stephen said, or something very similar to it, the first martyr of the church, when he looked up and he said, I see the Son of Man standing by the right hand of the Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And they killed him. In Luke 23, 44, it says, now about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, it's not going to shock you that that is a fulfillment of Scripture, right? So much of what's happening here is foretold. Psalms 31, 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Now, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I've heard that Hebrew mothers would use this song as a nighttime prayer for their children. The reason I think it's possible is because my mom taught me to pray, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, I never said it that slow. I said it super fast, but I didn't know I was praying that I wouldn't die. Pray the Lord my soul to keep if I die before I wake. So they say here, into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. We want to be able to say that when we die. Psalms 116, 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Death is not the end of the road for a Christian. Jesus knew it, and you and I know it. But I'll even go one step further. Death is not the end of the row for anyone. The Bible says that at the end, all will be raised, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting condemnation. And don't think that God's going to condemn you when you rise from the dead. Jesus said, I don't condemn anyone. And he's the judge. He says you are already condemned. You are condemned already. And that's why he went on a rescue mission, so that the handwriting on the wall that is against you could be removed. Also, difficult times should drive us to God. On the cross, as he's going through death, whatever that moment felt like to him, whatever that moment of death feels like, he called out to his Father. In our most darkest, difficult times, we should call out to God. Difficult times should drive us to him. We should also say to him, even now, into your hand, I commit my spirit. He created us, and we are his, and we can trust all that we have in his hand, that he will watch out for us, that he will take care of us. Now, three things in closing. Number one, in your difficulty, it is okay to question God. Jesus did. So if you're going through something now and you want to go, why, God, why would you do this? Why wouldn't you deliver us? That's okay. Now, be respectful, because you are talking to the creator of the universe and the ultimate judge you will stand before. But it's best to go to him. Jesus did. And as I said, it can't be sin, because Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've questioned God on what he's done. Number two, you are not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. You just need to endure. You need to make it to the end. You think, well, I'm not fighting very well. That's all right. There's good soldiers and there's bad soldiers. You just might not be a good soldier. But you're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. And if you endure to the end, then you will be saved. And that's what the scriptures say. People say, well, that causes me theological problems. Me too. Welcome to the club. Nevertheless, you have to endure to the end to be saved. And you're going to win. It's not a question. You'll win. And number three, no matter what happens to us today, even if we lose our life today, our spirit, the spirit of those who trust him, find themselves in the presence of God. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to approach the Bible at this very sacred moment that Jesus breathed his last breath. And the words that he said at the very end and how significant they are to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would commit our lives to you now. We are yours. We give it to you in a new, fresh way this evening. And Lord, we also pray for those that are here who have never committed their lives to you, that you would give them boldness to take that next step. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. This won't take long. I'm going to ask that no one would leave early. We're almost done. We'll dismiss you here shortly. But if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never been born again, which is an experience that has to happen to you. It's not about being a good person. It's not about going to church. It's about having your spirit brought to life. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So you have to have your spirit brought to life, quickened, as the old King James would say. Jesus said, the day is coming, and now is, when those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. So if your spirit hasn't been quickened, you can't worship him because you haven't been given life. And the Bible says so clearly that if anyone would receive him, he gives them the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. That means you have the power to open the door of your life up to him, to invite him in and say, Lord, I want you and I want to live for you. And listen, God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose. And that's why I like to say to those of you that are young, serve God while you're young. You think, well, I'm going to serve him when I'm older. No, serve him now. That's the Bible. Ecclesiastes. Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived, serve God while you're young. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for you. There's a reason that you're here. And you say, well, I'm not young anymore. Well, there's a reason you're here too. And you could give your life to him now and find forgiveness and be empowered by the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit of God who has a plan and a purpose for you. He called David, he filled him with the Spirit. He called Saul, he filled him with the Spirit. He called Samson, he filled him with the Spirit. And the Bible says in the last day, God will fill everyone with the Spirit. When you commit your life to Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit as a down payment. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God who will move inside of you. Your life will be radically changed and transformed. You think I'm too sinful. I've done too many bad things. Do you think the cross isn't sufficient? All he went through, it's sufficient for any sin, any sin. You say, well, I haven't done that many sins. I'm a pretty good person. Well, and I wouldn't argue with you. The Bible says that Joseph of Arimathea was a good man. The Bible says Job was a good and righteous man. But that's comparing people to people. Comparing people to people, you may be a good person and good. I'm glad. We need good people. But compared to God, as you stand in the light that has no shifting shadows, you'll be like Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. So you need to commit your life to Christ today. Don't let another day go by. If you want to give your life to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Just raise your hand. I want to see your hand. I want to acknowledge it. I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. God bless you guys down here in the front. All five of you, it's awesome. That's great. Do it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart because you don't know if God's going to be speaking to you again. Be bold for Christ. He died for you You'll now live for Him. Just raise your hand. If you're online, you don't have to raise your hand. You can just pray this prayer. But I would like everyone, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raise their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from You. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite You into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for You. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now listen, for those of you who raised your hand, there's a new believers table along the wall here and a new believers team that's there. These guys are great. We want to give you a Bible, a new believers packet. We want to pray with you. So there's someone you know when you get to church here, you can talk to them, you have questions. Let us come alongside and help you. We've got things for new Christians to do. And if you're returning to the Lord, let us help you as well. We just want to help you get back on your feet. We want to see you come out of the starting block running well with Christ. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. If you're online, you can send a text. Get out your phone, send a text, "Ready for Jesus," to 94,000. The link you get back is our new believers card. Click on that. Our new believers team will contact you. And even if you live in another town, we're going to help you find a good Bible-believing church that you can attend and help you find a place that you can be baptized. All right? Now I want to pray for you. And I'd like to pray for you based on what we've been covering. Jesus coming to the end of His life and saying His last words and how significant they are. And I want to pray a prayer of commitment. Jesus was committed to go to the cross and die. Are you committed to live for Him or die for Him? To no longer live for yourself? Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. And I want to pray for a new depth of commitment. Use us, call us, let our inner man, inner woman be renewed day by day. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for everyone who is here. As we raise our hands before You, made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I pray that we would be committed to You. We see Your commitment that You went all of the way to the cross. And Lord, if You kill us tomorrow, we'll serve You today. If our life is shortened because we are living for You, then we accept it. Our lives are Yours. You can do with us as You want. We'll live for You. We'll die for You. But Lord, use us. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Gift us to do the work You've called us to do. Let us minister to the people that are around us, and let us be a light that shines, because we are committed not to live our lives for ourselves, but to live our lives for You. We thank You for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.